recording. Oh. That's fitting.
That is fitting for us.
It really is. Baby, you can drive my car. Welcome to the Fast Cars, Fast Girls podcast with Abby and Molly. We have got quite the treat for you this week. It was President's Day on Monday. And so in honor of President's Day, we wanted to honor, well, the only president that matters to us. And if you're from Speedway, you already know. If you're not, you should know. J. Douglas Bowles is the best president there ever has been and ever will be. He is unparalleled in his love of the Indianapolis 500 and his love of the IMS. He is self-described as a 10-year-old boy on Christmas morning on how excited he gets about the Indy 500, which to everybody else who loves the Indy 500, we feel the exact same way. And so we'd like to just share our lovely interview with Doug Bowles. It was,
life-changing.
I mean, the guy is just, he's the GOAT.
He is the GOAT, really.
I think that we've reached a new era in track owners where it's important to them to connect more with fans than it is, you know, famous people or drivers. And Doug even says that you know, he's much more concerned with, you know, he knows a lot of drivers, but as far as, you know, other famous people, he's not concerned about that. He's concerned with connecting with all of us who come and, you know, buy good seats, buy cheap seats, buy lawn seats, whatever. That's who he wants to talk to and who he wants to make this race about.
So enjoy.
All right. Well, here with us today, we have a very special guest. We have Doug Bowles, the president of the Indianapolis Motor Speedway, a man who almost needs no introduction. He is just as famous, if not more so, than some of the IndyCar drivers that come here in May. You will see him.
That's not true. They're a little more famous than I am.
Well,
and they're also and they're a lot more important than I am. So,
oh, I don't know that I'd go that far. I don't know that I'd say they're more important. I would say in Indianapolis that you are very recognizable, very, very well liked. Have done wonderful things for the track. Have done wonderful things for the town speedway. And has agreed to sit down with us today.
Well, I'm glad to do it. Last time we sat down, we were a little colder.
We were.
Sitting down watching the 24-hour race in your beautiful camping spot right there inside of Oval Turn 3 and 4, which was fun.
It was
right
very
out,
fun.
Right out our tent, there was some race cars.
It's a good thing.
Can't beat that. Yeah.
So, all right. Well, you have been called the People's President. I think one of the things that Molly and I love most about you is that you are Christmas morning excited the entire month of May, just like any Indy 500 fan, which it shows how much you love your job, and you've said that before. So what would you say is your favorite thing, your favorite part about your job?
Getting to come here every day, not just in May, but getting to come through the gates, through the employee gate, you know, come on up into this office every day. It's, you know, I'm coming up on my 8th racing season working at the Indianapolis Motor Speedway, and there hasn't been a day yet where I'm not thankful that I get to be here. Race time in May, my favorite thing is literally walking out and talking to fans. I would rather spend my time understanding what fans like, understanding what they don't like, trying to help solve problems. I love working alongside our team, helping them solve problems, and then celebrating their wins when our team comes up with great ideas and is able to execute events, because for as much as I'm the person that's out promoting and talking about all the great things that the Speedway can do, it's really an entire staff that's coming up with the ideas and helping implement those things. I just get to help sort of guide the ship. They're the ones that are really making sure that it's rolling and moving forward. So being able to celebrate with a bunch of great people when we're able to put on a great event is part of what I like doing. Before you guys got in here, I actually spend a few minutes every day going through letters, responding to fans to the extent I can. You know, I call fans on the way home just to say thank you. And connecting with fans is probably right up there with the reason I love coming and one of my most favorite things to do.
Absolutely.
Where does the Christmas morning excitement come from? Is it natural? Do you have coffee in the morning? Like, do you come here already ready to go, or does it take?
Yeah, are you like this straight out of bed? You know, because some people are the same morning, noon, and night, and others of us need a little bit of a jump start before we are ready for other people.
So that's the nice thing about the drive from the house to work is it gives me a moment to actually ramp that up. Although in May it is really from the moment you wake up until the moment you go to bed, it's you sort of have to be on the whole time. Mm-hmm. But I'm not, Beth would tell you that I'm not instantly the happiest guy in the world when I get out of bed in the morning. But, you know, she's not unlike me. She loves this place so much, and it's pretty easy for the two of us to hype each other up before I walk out the door and get fired up. But I think that excitement for it really comes because I'm a fan like everyone else, and my dad taught me how special this place was. And just seeing it in my dad, it's sort of in my DNA, and he was the example that sort of allowed me to continue to embrace what makes this place so special. So I think it's a, you know, it's a genuine excitement. I didn't have to learn it because I came from another sport and said, oh, wow, this is cool. I've just grown up my whole life thinking, as far back as I can remember, that the Indianapolis 500 and the Indianapolis Motor Speedway is the greatest facility and the greatest event in the world.
Absolutely. Well, and we were both, you know, born in Speedway, and you moved away for a little bit, but... You know, but being here in the community, I mean, it's, yeah, how can you not just fall in love with it? So, because you grew up in Danville.
I did.
So did you guys come, because I know everybody in Speedway, which seems kind of bizarre when you've walked down Georgetown on Saturday night before the race, but everybody walks down with their kids. And
it's, yep.
So did you guys do that as well, come down and check everybody out?
So when I was born, we actually lived at 34th and Georgetown. My parents had a little house right there, 34th and Georgetown, and we moved to 42nd and Kessler, so I wasn't far from here. And then after my third grade year, we actually moved to the west side to Danville. And no, we didn't come do the Georgetown thing at night, really until I was in college, right? And
yeah,
then in college,
right?
When I first
experienced. Well, yeah, then it makes sense.
So I went to Butler, right? And I was like, okay, well, let's go check this thing out. And the first few years of seeing Georgetown at night was a bit frightening for a guy that just really thought all this place is only about racing.
it's a little different crowd.
It is a different crowd. And, I do get a chance to walk Georgetown now and try and actually do it in the evening with no tie on. And that's the one time when I'm representing the Speedway that I try and hide, right? So I get out there and kind of see what's going on. But, you know, it's one of those things really for my family was more about coming when the activity was on the track and less about what you would do if you grew up in Speedway, which is sort of embrace that experience that happens on Georgetown Road.
Absolutely. Well, and I mean, yeah, we did it all. But, yeah, the walk to Georgetown was always very funny. Well, and when I was younger, there were a lot of years that they actually had bungee jumping. There was a crane parked on 16th and Georgetown, and they had bungee jumping. And, we would just go and watch and laugh. And my mom is also a nurse, and I remember every year she said, I can't believe that nobody gets injured with this.
Yeah.
I think somebody did, and that's why it stopped.
Probably why it's not there anymore.
Pretty sure that's why that doesn't happen.
Yeah, those lawyers sometimes get in the way of the fun.
Well,
that the tolerance for risk is a little different when you look at it through legal lens than you do look at it through the promoter lens, right? And I'm a lawyer as well, and so you look at that. There's days I have my promoter hat on. There are days I have my lawyer hat on. I think our legal team, when I got here, I was like, oh, right, we got a lawyer that's president of Speedway. And then I'm the guy saying, oh, let's go throw people out of airplanes. And let's take Nick Gepper across the yard of bricks and let him do flips and all. So there's days when you have to battle that. What is good promotion and making the event exciting, and what is the responsible thing
and
to do
legally
to make sure
defensible.
That you're protecting your customers from harming themselves?
Absolutely. What would you say is the most unusual thing that you have seen or done the week leading up to the race?
Oh, geez, that's a tough question. There's all kinds of unusual things that happen at the Speedway. There's nothing that, fortunately, that I've seen that I felt like was overly unusual. I mean, for me, maybe the most memorable thing that I've done was maybe not before the 500 as much as, you know, parachuting out of an airplane before the MotoGP and landing at the Indianapolis Motor Speedway was maybe one of the most memorable moments leading into a race weekend. You know, Carter and I spend the bulk of the late night hours and early morning hours of race eve and race morning just wandering around the facility on a golf cart, making sure the snake pit's still being built until almost 7 o'clock in the morning when things get started. Sneaking into the balloon tent and laying on the ground looking at all, you know, these 45,000 balloons that are going to take off the next day. So for me, maybe that's the most memorable moments is being able to enjoy that time with Carter. around something I love so much and that he has fallen in love with, partially because he's grown up around it, partially because his half-brother's Connor, right? So he loves the fact that Connor participates. There's a whole bunch of reasons for him that it's been neat to see him embrace another generation who's just embraced how important this event is.
Absolutely. Well, and it's almost like you're quiet before the storm, you know, since it's the two of you going.
Yeah, it is.
You know, sneaking in the balloon tent.
It is. And we get the text messages throughout the night from mom saying, hey, you guys got to get Carter. He needs to sleep a little bit. No, you're going to stay up all night, but got to get Carter in bed. And so we've been pretty good about getting him an hour or two anyway.
You got to train him, young.
Yeah, that's right.
I mean,
that's about what we get.
Yeah.
So do you have people park in your yard? You do the whole nine yards?
My family, my mom is from Frankfort, Indiana, which is about 45 minutes north on 65. And her parents and her family, they came to the race for years and years. And they always got tickets in Southwest Vista. And so my very first Indy 500, that's where we were. And so your very first Indy 500 was very memorable because it was A.J. Foyt's fourth win.
Yep.
My first Indy 500 was the year that we ran it on a Tuesday because it got rained out Sunday and Monday.
Yep.
And I also get Christmas morning excited about the race. Yep. In fact, I rank the most important days of the year. So race weekend, then St. Patrick's Day, and then my birthday.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I've worked people's Christmases. I've never worked a Memorial Day weekend. I have quit two jobs over it.
Yep.
I mean, they were waitressing jobs, and I said, well, I'll find another restaurant, but this is not negotiable.
So my first job offer out of Butler was to go work at the Indiana House of Representatives, and a gal named Lou Ann Baker, who I thank Lou Ann every day for giving me the first job opportunity I had, and they said, okay, here's it. We need you to start third week in May. I said, well, that's kind of a problem for me.
Yeah.
Because May is when cars are running, and I need to be at the Speedway store every day that it's open. I got to get through race weekend, and if it's okay with you, I'd like to start after May, and if it's a problem with you, then I may have to look for another job. And fortunately, Lou Ann was a race fan. In fact, Lou Ann ends up doing a lot of PR work for Ryan Reinbold and some drivers around, but same thing, right? It's like, don't get in the way of my May, because that's an important time.
It's an important time.
Absolutely.
So, but yeah, we started getting our own tickets, and we now are in the paddock. We have, the very first year, we were in what I will call little league bleachers that were in turn one. They're not even there
anymore.
Oh,
the inside turn one, yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
And so you saw, you know, about 3 feet of the track.
Yep.
Really great seats. But, you know, you got to start somewhere. And we didn't care.
Yep.
We said, all right, this is the first year of many. We're getting tickets our own name because the Southwest Vista were through somebody else. And we decided we're not doing that anymore. We're starting our own tickets. And so we actually worked our way up to 16 tickets together.
Wow.
And
that's
we
awesome.
Have family that comes in from all over the country. Phoenix, Georgia, Tennessee, Kentucky, Minnesota a couple years, and everybody just comes in. And so we don't have any room to park anybody else.
Everybody crashes at your place?
Everybody
too.
Crashes
oh,
at our
awesome.
Place. Yeah,
that's
it's a huge slumber party. We have had people on floors, on air mattresses, in tents. We had somebody, a friend of my cousin's, actually sleep in a sleeping bag behind the porch swing on the front porch because he didn't trust any of us not to mess with him while he slept. And he knew that we couldn't get behind the swing quietly if we had been drinking. That we would not be as quiet or as sly as we thought.
Yep.
We have.
That's one of the things, though, that makes the race so special. I mean, we all talk about being excited about race day and what goes on, but if you just go a few blocks west or a block or two west, and then for the next mile or so in neighborhoods in Speedway, it is that. It's people that you have family, but you also, I assume, have friends and others.
Absolutely.
But there's some people that don't have family. It's just friends that are essentially family, right? They show up every year and they stay in their house or they camp in their yards. And this year, actually, race eve, one of the things we did early race eve was we spent some time driving around the neighborhoods and would just stop and walk in on people's parties and just say, hey, what's going on? Hey, I'm Doug Bowles. Thanks for – and the people you meet from all over that are staying in the town of Speedway in somebody's house, but the people just come one time a year, and it's like these really cool family reunions with people that aren't necessarily family. And that's the hard part to explain to people. This is not just a race. It is an event, and it is a family reunion. It's the one time a year that you see some of these people, and it's like you've never missed them. You want to know how their kids are and what's going on, and it's just a great, great experience that it's hard to explain to people if you haven't actually lived
Absolutely.
Through that.
Yeah. Absolutely. Well, and, you know, one of my favorite things to do, because with 16 tickets, we often have tickets that we are trying to get rid of at some point, you know, because not everybody can come every year, and so I have introduced a lot of friends to the Indy 500,
And I love taking somebody for their first time. Mm-hmm. I love trivia. And so my cousin Rob's kids, when they were old enough to start coming to the race, they came early. We did carb day and all that. And so I, threw out trivia the whole time and asked them all these questions, just, get them excited. And so I love seeing somebody's first Indy 500. I've not had a single person not say they absolutely loved it.
And again, it's because what you see on TV is 10% of the experience. Mm-hmm. And when you can take, especially when they go with somebody that's as passionate about it as you are, right? And they get to understand why it's important and have somebody sort of hold their hand through the experience, it's almost impossible not to leave
absolutely
that weekend and go, that's the coolest thing I've ever done.
Right. Well, and even your first year that you came, it's like, okay, everybody's first year, there's a couple things that I want to do. So we sit in the paddock now. And so, we go in, get to our seats, get situated. I've been doing trivia the entire weekend. I usually barely have a voice by Sunday morning. It's completely gone on Monday.
Yep.
Every year. In fact, this past year, since we went to the banquet, I had a spokesperson for me on Saturday night, because that's usually the night that I lose my voice. So I just leaned over. I need you to yell at them to stop. I can't lose my voice. I'm going to the banquet this year. I have to have a voice Monday. But it's, we go and, all the pre-race ceremonies. Yep. I love all the pageantry and explaining, the history behind everything. Yep. And then we usually get up and walk around lap 100. And one of the things that I love to do is take new people under the tunnel.
Yep.
Because you got to go check out the pagoda. But one of the things that I always make everybody do is stop in the tunnel and wait for the cars to come over.
Yep.
Because it's so loud, and there's just something about it that just goes straight to your core when you are in the tunnel, and these cars are driving over me at greater than 200 miles an hour.
Yep.
And that you're just a part of this huge event and this energy.
And the sound underneath there gives you the sense, not only the vibration you feel, but just the sound gives you the sense of how fast they are.
Yeah, just
when you're under there,
that
just
power.
How quick they've gone by. And when you sit in the grandstands and you get to watch them for such distance, they're fast, but you don't really understand until you understand how quickly they've crossed you in and out of the sound zone. So that's is a cool place when you're underneath there.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I love taking people to the museum.
Yep.
That's actually been my standard. So as soon as I got a driver's license, my parents were like, good, we've got another taxi driver in the house. And so any family that came in from out of town.
Shuttling.
Yeah, I was in charge of, because I was in school and my parents both worked. And so it was, they're getting to 3:30. Oh, Abby will pick it from the airport. So anytime I had a couple hours to kill, everybody came. We went to the IMS Hall of Fame Museum. And so I created race fans in my family. My cousin Chrissy's husband, Tom. The reason that they started getting tickets is because I took him to the IMS Museum every time he came into town. So, we got a couple hours. So, we'd always hit
That's great.
El Rodeo, Mexican restaurant, and the IMS Museum.
Yep.
And the second time he said, well, we've already been. I said, oh, but they changed. I said, you have no idea how many things they have. I said, there's always something new to see.
Yep.
And so, now every time they come, he makes a point to stop by
and
the
they've
museum.
Done a really good job even recently of changing out even more so, having the A.J. Foyt display. Mm-hmm. Last year, they have new displays this year. So it really is that. They're changing two or three times a year, the major displays that they have there. So if you've got people coming in once a year, it's absolutely different.
Yeah.
It's, which is great.
Yeah. So, those are some of the things I love to show people for the first time. And
The other thing I hear first time for folks, it's such an amazing place and it's so big. And when people see it on TV, and the cars get around in 40 seconds, so it seems really small. And when they get here, they go, oh my gosh, the place is massive.
Yeah.
Which is the one, and it doesn't matter who it is, nobody can believe their first time here how big the facility really is when
they
get here.
Oh, that's absolutely I had no idea how big this was. My favorite is when they think we're going to see everything.
Yeah.
and then when we come under the tunnel and we get to the pagoda, I say, okay, let's look at the back of your ticket now. So this is where we are, all the way over there, because I want to go just look at the snake pit. No, you don't.
Yep. No, I'm not going
to. I mean, if you want to go, that's fine. But A, I'm not going with you because I'm not missing that many labs. And B, you will never find us again because it's your first time here.
Yep.
I love you and I'll see you back in the house.
Yes. So I'm famous on Carb Day with my friends because we have checkered umbrellas now, which makes us very easy to find for the group. But prior to that, text messages aren't going through because everybody's trying to text.
Yep.
And so you have a general idea of where you're meeting people. Maybe you meet up with people. Maybe you don't. And if it's a huge concert, if it's a huge crowd, if you go to the bathroom and there's nothing distinguishing about where your friends are, you're not going to find them again. And so Molly's first carb day, she had never been, and she says, I'm going to go to the bathroom. I said, okay, take your phone and your money. And she said, going to the restrooms. And I said, I hear what you're saying to me, but you've never been here before. I don't want you to be lost and not have your phone or your money. And I said, now, you know how to get back to the house. I said, leave out the gate by turn one, you know, do this whole thing. And then when she gets ready to go, she said that, what'd you say, that it was like I was sending you off to war.
Yeah.
Yep. And so I
maybe we'll see you again.
Yeah, she goes, luck. Okay, I'm gonna go now. And I gave her a hug. I said, I love you, and I'll see you at the house.
I did find you.
You did. But that was the first year we had the checkered umbrella, so.
Checkered umbrellas, that's a really good idea.
Yeah, so we stand on a hard cooler and hold it up.
That's a great idea.
Every time somebody goes to the bathroom, we give them about 5 minutes, and then we stand up so that they can just look up and.
That's a trip. Maybe I need to do that. That would help. Although I am the only person in the venue of the 300,000 plus with a tie, probably.
I feel like I'm pretty noticeable.
Yeah.
Like everybody knows, oh, there he is, found him.
That's that guy. Just look for the guy in a tie.
It's like, where's Waldo?
It is.
Where's Doug?
We're going to play that in May. Hashtag where's Doug?
Hashtag where's Doug?
That'd be good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think so.
Well, good. Well, you know, appreciate what you guys do. The fun thing about you guys is that you love this place, but you also have expanded to where you really love the sport. Mm-hmm. And it's fun to go to 24 Hours of Daytona, see you down there supporting the IndyCar guys, experiencing that differently. But seeing you at other events has been a lot of fun. And it's neat to... you know, have your eyes, because you guys see it differently than other folks, and you're able to introduce people to the sport other than just a traditional race fan. So I love having you guys and seeing you and how passionate you are about the sport. We just need more people like you that are out there advocating for it and excited that you asked me to do this. This is cool.
Well,
we're extremely excited. In fact, so here was our text conversation earlier today, because we've been giddy. I mean, we just... all week long, we said, we can't believe that we're really going to interview Doug Bowles. I mean, I know that we've talked to you and we've got to know you and whatever, but, you know, to officially interview, we're like, I can't believe this is happening. And so I worked last night, so I slept a little bit during the day, and then I got up and Molly and I were texting, and I said, I'm so excited. I woke up, my first thought, I was like, you have to get up and get in the shower, we're interviewing Doug Bowles. And so we go back and forth, and Molly sends a text, and she said, we are absolutely insane, and Doug is going about his day as normal, just doing Doug Bowles things, because... It's just an interview.
It is just an interview, but it's a good interview because it's with people who care about the sport, and that's the most important thing as we are all out trying to advocate. And the thing the sport needs are those. We still are in a point at a place where it is sort of hand to hand combat, and you're garnering a fan sort of one at a time.
Mm-hmm.
It's nice when an advertisement like the Super Bowl ad or those kind of things can pull people in, but it really is.
That was excellent.
It's,
by the way,
our team does. Oh, unbelievable work.
I mean, was amazing.
And for them to capture just the whole experience, not just the on-track, but all the other things that go on, they do a really, really good job.
Oh, it was split. I mean, all of the scenes were, it was seamless.
We're really excited about it. It's been a lot. I wish we had the budget to buy a national ad, but, you know, it's, although I think if we had the budget to buy a national ad, the drivers would be saying, hey, why don't you take that budget and put it in the purse versus putting it in a national ad? And I think a lot of ways... those ads create awareness, but what really secures a fan is what we've been talking about the whole time, and it's that one-on-one experience, bringing somebody, and especially when you can walk alongside somebody that understands it and can answer questions and help you really enjoy the experience. That's why people keep coming back. That's why you've gone from just a handful to 16 people, and at some point in time, it may even be more. Maybe 16 in your block, but you're bringing other folks, and it really is. I mean, it's like the tree that's planted, and now you can see all the fruit that's coming because you've introduced them through the roots and your passion for it, which is pretty cool.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah. Is this job what you expected it to be?
Parts of it, yes, and parts of it, no.
Yeah.
I love the place, and being able to be part of it and helping, like I said, lead the team and get the team going the right direction. But there are parts of the day that sometimes, you know, you're making difficult decisions or you can't, I wish I could say yes to people all the time. And there are times that you just can't say yes to certain things. I wish that we had all the money in the world so that we could, you know, so you're limited by resources. So that sometimes can be frustrating because if, as fans, we sat down and said, okay, let's make the top 10 list of the things we'd want to do to make sure the Indy 500 was the greatest event in the world and money wasn't a constraint, there's a whole bunch of things you could do, but trying to manage through that. In a world where you don't know what's going on in terms of safety of our customers, you know, all those kind of things, those things worry you. So there's the weight of worrying about the things that could go wrong that you don't think about when you take a job, but then you realize you've got a whole bunch of people that are coming here, and somebody has to really be thinking about that. So we have a whole segment of what we do here internally is think about how do we make sure that our customers have a great experience but also have a safe experience. And there's so many things outside of that we don't control. Customer experience even alone, people talk about trying to take care of people when they're here, but really the Indy 500 customer's experience starts when they leave their house. And it doesn't matter if that house is your house a few blocks away or somebody else's house halfway around the world. If something goes wrong, whether it's an airplane delay or parking or traffic on the way in or something that we've done actually here at the Speedway, it can impact their whole experience and the way that they view the Indy 500. And we have more control over it as it gets closer to the venue, but we still worry about all of it. So trying to make sure that that's seamless and enjoyable for everybody are the things you start worrying about that you don't think about when you think, well, I get to be the president of Speedway. Yeah. But then all of a sudden you start working through those. But, I wouldn't trade this for anything. At some point in time, I'm sure there's another job in my future before I retire. I don't know what it'll be, and I hope not. But, to the extent that there is, I think I would look back at this and think there's not a better place or a place I would rather have been than in this chair for whatever amount of time I'm allowed to be here. I mean, it's a great place.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
And you've been here now, we just talked 8.
So this is my 8th season. I'm a little over 7 years of the Speedway, and this is almost 5 years as president.
So looking back, what would you, and I know it's probably hard to pick, what do you think is your biggest accomplishment so far, just personally?
I don't know that there's a big personal accomplishment. I think as a team, I think for us, maybe one of the biggest accomplishments we've had as a team is to not execute the 100th, but to keep the excitement and the momentum going beyond the 100th. Because there were a lot of people that thought, okay, we're going to get to the 100th running of the Indy 500, and then people are going to say, okay, I made it to 100, I'm going to do something else now, I'm not going to come. And for us to come into 17 and have the numbers in 17 significantly higher than they were in 15, our numbers for 18 look like they're going to be significantly higher than they were in 17, we're putting the Indy 500 back on a trajectory where it needs to be. So I think being part of the team effort that did that, and the fact that the Indy 500 sold out for that 100th running, and for people to walk back in the venue and go, oh my gosh, this is why I fell in love with the place, just the electricity that was around it. And that's all about this team and all about really this community, even if people didn't come to the 500 that year, is they embraced the celebration of 100 runnings in the Indy 500, and they embraced what the Indy 500 and what Carl Fisher started and what Tony Hallman allowed to continue. They embraced the fact that, hey, we love that this is in our community. So I don't know that there's an individual accomplishment, but I certainly am proud of the team accomplishment that we had and really proud of the fact that we got this momentum back for the Indy 500.
Absolutely. I love that we've got the momentum back, and I love so many of the things that have been implemented in recent years, kind of revitalizing the Snake Pit, making that a thing again. And, that you have bands that you choose that are, very specific to the demographic that goes to the Snake Pit. Yep. And we laughed because, of course, we're all waiting with bated breath for the Carb Day concert announcement. So we always laugh and say the Carb Day concert is the concert for race fans because we get a little racing. We do a pass stop challenge, then we go to Carb Day.
Yep.
When you're really a race fan, we don't care who's in the Snake Pit on race day. You got to start somewhere with getting people into the venue, into the event.
Yeah.
Because at some point, you're going to expand outside of the Snake Pit, and then you're going to age out. Exactly.
So music is one of those challenging, really, it's a lot more challenging than people think. Mm-hmm. And the Snake Pit is one where I'll have interesting conversations with people about, well, why would you even care about those people? They're not race fans. And I remind them that it's almost 30,000 young adults under the age of 30, more than half of which, and you could argue maybe almost all of which, aren't coming to the Indy 500 on race day, but for the music. And it is a way for us to know who they are and at least get them practiced in on Memorial Day weekend. On that Sunday, I go to the Indy 500. And maybe at some point in time, they're going to grow up and go, and I don't mean that they're not grown up, but grow out of snake pitting and say, but this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to pack my own cooler of beer now, and I'm going to go sit in the grandstands. Or maybe I'm going to go see one of the acts and not all of them, but I'm going to be part of it. So for us, it's a great marketing tool. But music generally has gotten harder and harder as time's gone because it's so competitive anymore to get bands. And when bands are traveling and they play in different venues, there are these radius clauses and big venues like Live Nation venues suck up all the talent. And they have to be. It's the most challenging piece of putting together the month of May is securing the artists. And the one that has probably been the easiest, and not that it's easy, has become the Snake Pit, because from what was an idea of Jessica Gunter and the team a long, long time ago to do this Snake Pit team, and it's kind of been carried on by a lot of the youth in the company, and Kyle Kristoff sort of leading that for us, is turned into the one where all the top artists in that genre go, I want to go to that, because it's 30,000 people in the middle of 300,000, and it's sort of a bucket list for those artists to come participate. And that's, so that one works out pretty well. The others can be a challenge, and that's how come sometimes it just takes a little bit longer to announce those artists, yeah, to get them secured.
Yeah. Well, you can bring ZZ Top back anytime.
Yeah. Yeah.
That was ZZ, my favorite Carpet
ZZ's
concert.
ZZ's a good one. So I enjoyed the Journey concert. I thought that was...
I did too.
I wish they'd have figured out a way to get Steve Perry to come back with them, but it was fun to have them, and it seemed like that was sort of a perfect 100th.
Oh, it was.
Definitely it was.
But ZZ would be good. And then when you start looking at the bands we've had, and without trying to repeat, right, it's, mm-hmm, all of a sudden you start narrowing the number of bands that you can bring.
Yeah.
So someday someday we'll probably start going back and doing some repeats.
Yeah.
But ZZ would be a great one to bring back.
ZZ would be a great one to repeat. Yeah. Aerosmith would be a great one.
Aerosmith would be a great one.
Doable.
Yeah. Again, and those some of those bands, A, budget is an issue. B,
yes.
B, routing is an issue. C, radius clause. I mean, there's a whole bunch of things that get into those. And, you know, when we did the Stones on July 4th and 15, that was just sort of a perfect storm that the routing worked. They were doing big venues like what this one would be. And we were able to work through radius clauses based on distance and time. And it was a perfect one. And hopefully we'll be able to do more stuff like that too.
Yeah. Yeah. I know I've had a lot of people that were curious about doing more concerts and things like that. Cause we went and it was so much fun. And I loved that there were fireworks here. And that was just a great time.
It was a fun event.
Yeah. It was a very fun event.
Yep.
Yeah. They put on a great show.
They did put on a great show, and the neat thing about them was just how diverse age-wise that crowd was. And while they their core is older, there were teenagers to 80-year-olds. Mm-hmm. It was just neat to see all the number of folks. And you know, another Carter story. Carter's like, I don't really know who the Rolling Stones are. I was like, I don't care. You're gonna go.
You're gonna go,
because someday you're gonna look back and go, wow, I got to see the Rolling Stones. And it was pretty neat. After the show, he spent a lot of the first part with me wandering through. We were trying to solve ADA issues. In fact, we were having a little bit of an issue at the ADA platform at one point. And we had a couple upset customers, and we were trying to work through it. And I kept feeling this tug on my jacket, and it was Carter. He said, Dad, I think you need to let your staff take care of this. You need to get yourself removed from the situation. So he was trying to be the adult and get me out. And so we actually ended up finding a place for somebody that we were struggling to find a place for an ADA customer. And then he ended up sitting with his mom sort of towards the middle in the back and watched all the things. He said, this is one of the coolest things he'd ever done. And it's amazing, even for him at that time, being 12 or 13, the music, he's like, man, I knew more of those songs than I thought I really knew, which is pretty neat.
That's a testament to whoever raised him, that he knows the Stones.
It's very good. Yeah, so that's fun. And you asked a lot of the most special moments for me probably end up being personal moments, as much when you have those moments that you can do something with somebody like Carter, or walking up to the grid when Connor's running and giving him a thumbs up right before he goes, and then going off to do my thing. And those are kind of things that stick in my brain as almost, cool dad moments
absolutely
are pretty important too.
Nice. Absolutely.
I like that. Cool dad moments.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You've got the list.
I do have the list. Okay, so you said about 300,000 people in the stands. What do you guys usually expect on race day? Because the grandstands hold about 300,000.
So we're about 240,000-ish
That's
in
right.
grandstands, and we can do 100 plus in the infield. So
yeah.
I think, like I said, you're going to see a race day in 2018 that is better than it was in 2017. So
awesome.
We're a couple percent up on ticket sales over last year right now, which is fantastic. And we probably don't sell out, but we're getting closer again every year.
Yeah.
And to me, that's, as long as we can just continue to deliver a great event, the on-track product has been fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, we have the new car, which a lot of hardcore fans can't wait to see that new car running, right? And my only thing, when I had a chance to talk to Jay Fry as they were thinking about changing the car, is just make sure that the racing is just as good.
Yeah.
And I think, by all accounts, it's going to be just as good, which is fantastic. So You know, I think we'll look for, you'll have a really good crowd, and for us, it's just make sure the experience is a good experience for people, and keep everybody safe, and have a good on-track component, and then just hopefully just keep that momentum going.
Absolutely. Well, and I've noticed in the last few years, I mean, attendance on qualifications weekend has increased as well, and I think, you know, moving the, you know, doing the Fast 9 shootout on Sunday helps. Mm-hmm. Well, and of course, you know, you and I both remember the days of 2 weekends of qualifications, and we would come as a family.
Yeah.
If we were, there was 1 year that we were out of town because a cousin of mine was getting married in Gatlinburg, and the entire, and we all stayed in one big chalet because it was pretty much all the family that comes to the race anyway. So we're used to close quarters, and the entire weekend the TV was on for qualifications because everybody knew that's where we normally were. And the only time we weren't watching was during the ceremony.
So the traditionalist in me struggled when the organization went from 2 weekends, 4 days to 2 days. And even when we changed from pole day being Saturday and bump day being Sunday to sort of flipping it, right? Figuring out figuring out who the Fast 9 are. And it was sort of a struggle from the traditional standpoint. But when you step back away from it, the excitement that has been generated on both of those days now is more than it's been in the last several years, because we're not at a point where you're going to have 40 or 50 cars competing for the 33 spots anymore. So we've had to change a little bit to make sure that we give enough exciting content for the fans. And that Fast 9 shootout has been fantastic the last few years. And the drama leading up to it, mm-hmm. and you know, putting the guy that's fastest right there on the box as he's watching the folks go. And that is... it's turned into be a good weekend, and I think it's relatively easy for people to understand. Mm-hmm. When you had the 4 days, it was weird that, man, I could be the fastest guy on the fourth day, but I can only qualify up to X number. You know that got confusing to try and explain it. So it's a little bit easier of a formula to explain how it works, and I think people are beginning to see that. So I do think that helps. My favorite day, other than race day in the entire month, is the Monday practice after the 2 days of qualifying, because all 33 cars run, and they're out there running in packs. It's a great practice day. It's almost, in some ways, better than Fast Friday. Fast Friday is fun if you want to see the sheer speed, but if you want to see people out there running in groups, and what you're going to see on race day, that Monday practice that we've added has turned into be maybe, like I said, maybe my favorite day of the month, other than race day.
Awesome. That is a great day.
It's a fun day. And if you're a bronze badge holder, you get pit access on that day, which is really cool. So one of the things we wanted to do was do something special for the bronze badge holder, who oftentimes is our best fan, right? Because they come every day, they know the drivers, they spend time in the garage, and it gives them the opportunity to get out and pit access and see what it's like. And you're there when everybody's running.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's why we're bronze badge holders.
Absolutely.
We actually both take vacation.
Good for you.
In May. Yep. And it's funny because I've missed weddings, baby showers, baptisms.
They should know better than
graduation.
A lot of
graduation parties because it's the end of May. And my mom always gave me grief when it was a family friend. She said, "You're really not going to come." I said, "It's a track day." And she would say, "You're in town. That's so rude." I said, "If I was on vacation in Florida, no one would expect me to come. I'm choosing to take my vacation at my favorite place just because it's within driving distance of this event. It doesn't mean I have to come. I'm on vacation.
Yep.
I'm at the track."
And people should understand that.
They should
absolutely understand.
They should. So now everybody, I mean, all of my friends know. If there's anything, they just, well, Abby won't be able to make it. So
they RSVP for you.
Yes. Don't even schedule
at this
point. Yeah. Right.
Like, you know where I'll be.
So there's an awful lot of fans, I think, that would support you in those decisions.
I think so.
That kind of do the same thing, right?
Well, one of the graduation parties I missed is a race fan, and I sent him a text and said, "Sorry, his mom had scheduled it." And so I sent a text and I said, "Sorry, I'm not going to be able to make it, but it's poll day." So, and he sent back, "Completely understand, not a problem. Thanks, love you."
Yeah.
He wasn't even upset. Totally got it.
Yep.
I was like, "Yeah, it's not.
Absolutely.
It's a no for me."
Yep.
"I'll have a card for you when you come next week for the race."
I'll buy you a beer. Come on out.
Exactly. One of the things that I also enjoy about, the whole community of Speedway and Indianapolis that gets into this is that, how you said earlier, you know, there's all, the, you know, every house has friends and family and some, you know, assortment of the two, is that everybody has their own race weekend traditions.
For sure.
Mm-hmm. And it's funny to me, because growing up, we always just call it race weekend.
Mm-hmm.
And when I started working outside of Indianapolis, I had to start saying Memorial Day weekend because it's race weekend.
Right.
What do you mean? What? Race weekend. It's Memorial Day. Memorial Day weekend. Okay. Oh, that's what normal people call it.
Right.
It's race weekend. That is a not to discount our veterans by any means, because Memorial Day is a very important holiday.
Yes.
But yes, race weekend. And I love all of the different just traditions and things that people have.
Yep. And, you know, we had tried Allison Melanchthon, who's been a great addition to the Speedway and Hallman staff, sort of took that community spirit that she has. And in the 100th, we encouraged the porch parties and encouraged them again last year.
Which was a great idea.
So you had a lot of core people that did it anyway. But then trying to remind people that, hey, this is what we do in Indianapolis. We celebrate the Indy 500 and have the parties. And that what the idea behind that was trying to do the throwback to the time when those traditions happened a lot more. And over the last couple of years, it's been fun, and I've gotten to go to a lot of porch parties. Is one of the things I do in May. Is I'll stop by people's houses and just hang out at porch parties and see how they're doing. But it is fun, and people have their own traditions of how they celebrate the race, what they do, you know, the night before, what time they leave, where they park, you know, who goes with them, what car they take. It's pretty amazing the traditions that go along with just getting to the race or celebrating it over that weekend. Again, this community is so good about it. Even if people don't come to the race, they have their traditions of, oh, no, I stay home, and we cook out in the backyard, and we listen on the radio or whatever it is. And in fact, when I call customers at night, a lot of times people – and one of the questions I ask everybody, so how did you get introduced to the Indy 500? And one of the ways that I hear a lot is, well, you know, I grew up in Iowa, and we went to Uncle Bill's house on Memorial Day weekend, and all day long we would listen to the Indy 500, and I'd sit there by the radio and think, someday I'm going to go to that race. And then, they eventually go, and then they continue to come back. But that's one of those traditions, even people here in the community that may not come listen on the radio, and then they'll have a party at home that night, and they'll watch the rebroadcast. It's pretty neat that just how much – the race is intertwined with race weekend for people in Indianapolis.
Absolutely.
That's exactly what my father does. Turns the race on the radio, and he's get the little Indy star in it.
Oh, yeah. Write it down on the...
Oh, my goodness. And he just... Who was that again? Who crashed again? We're like, okay, Dad, this doesn't go okay.
That's great. That's awesome.
Line it all the way through.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
He doesn't go, but I do.
That's yes. Fine. But again, yes, I would love everybody in the community to come to the Indy 500, but more importantly, I would love everybody in the community just to be happy that the Indy 500 is here, and to the extent you can participate, even if it's sitting at home with the Indianapolis Star crossing off the box score, that's part of it. And to me, that's a win for the Indianapolis 500.
I think so. And he comes other days, so don't
that's
worry.
That's good.
No, we get him in the track, but not during race day. No.
Yeah.
He can't handle it.
Can't you handle posted it. Pictures of him last year, didn't you?
Yes. He came to Fast
That's Friday. Right. I remember that. Yes.
And then he came to the SCCA and took a nap during lunch.
That's all right.
And sleep everywhere.
Okay. And you trolled him hard on Twitter about that.
Because he fell
You
asleep.
Took photos of him and posted them.
That's okay.
To which I texted your dad and I said, don't let her push you around. I said, I was tired all 3 days and I wanted to take a nap during the lunch break all 3 days. And I knew without a doubt.
You'd end up on Twitter?
Yeah, that she would take a picture of me and would Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, be reserved.
But what better place to take a nap than the Indianapolis Motor Speedway?
Right?
Right. Yeah. Even with cars going on, it's okay. You're here.
Well, I will say I always make fun of, because we have a big crew usually for one of the qualifications days. It's a core group for 2 days, but there's usually a bigger group one of the days.
Right.
And there's always somebody that... maybe doesn't hydrate with water properly,
yes. Yeah.
and needs an afternoon nap.
Yep.
And they always get shamed.
It's okay.
It happens.
Yeah, it does
I mean,
happen.
It happens every year.
But I will take a picture.
Oh, we will absolutely take a picture.
So that was one of the things for me, even in college. Drinking at the Indianapolis Motor Speedway was not something I ever did because to me it was too much business, right? It was too much about what was going on at track. So I'd come with my buddies and they'd bring a cooler and... by the time I was sort of the designated driver because they knew that I was too focused on what was going on track. So while I appreciate that people come here and have a great time, for me, that's one of the things that I never really just too important to I'll have a beer occasionally, but I won't be on that really.
Well, I will say we don't, we do drink on race day, but that's not our big drinking day.
Right.
I mean, Friday, carb day.
Friday's kind of a party day.
Friday is a party day, and that's what I tell anybody who comes. I said, come for the whole weekend.
Yep.
I said, because you want to experience carb day. I said, and then when you wake up Saturday, I want you to rest assured that we don't do that the entire weekend.
That's right.
Carb day is a special day.
Yes.
But yeah, race race day, it's, you know, you want to have your wits about you so that you can take in every last second.
Yep. Agreed.
What do you think, speaking of race day, what's your favorite moment of race day? Is there a moment that all of a sudden you're like...
For sure. There's a 30-minute moment, which is the 30 minutes that lead up to the green flag, is the most special 30 minutes of the entire year. It is Christmas Eve, right? It is that anticipation as an 8-year-old of going to bed and going, what's Christmas going to be like tomorrow, right? It is that whole thing. My favorite moment is back home again in Indiana, and Jim Nabors was such a part of making that my favorite moment. Mm-hmm. Jim Cornelison last year knocked it out of the park and sort of made me feel like, oh my gosh, it's Jim Nabors all over again. So that's my favorite 90 seconds probably. But that 30 minute run up to the command is really, really special. And I love the race. But it's races sort of like Christmas Day when your presents have been opened. Like you're having a blast and you're with family and it's really cool and you don't want it to end. But there's that part in the back of your mind where you're going, man, I can't wait for that 30 minutes again to lead up to the next running of the Indy 500.
It's almost a bittersweet the closer you get to the end.
It absolutely is. It's like, oh my gosh, we got to wait a whole year to do this again.
It's almost over.
You kind of said when we leave the track,
And there's the part of you that says, man, if we could do it tomorrow, yeah, we would. But then the other side of me thinks, you know, I kind of like this year thing because it really does make you appreciate how special that day is. And I think if we ran a race in September, all of a sudden made it, it's kind of nice we have to wait.
I like that.
I agree. Builds the anticipation. It does.
But 30 minutes leading up to the race is without a doubt the best time of that day, the best time of the year. It is the, if you said you only get 30 minutes all year that you can pick the place you're going to be, it would be right there from 30 minutes from the point that they back me up 30 minutes from the point that they drove into turn one under the green flag, and that would be it.
Nice. Yeah. Very nice. Very cool.
Yeah, there's so much that goes on race morning.
It's a great morning.
It is a great morning.
It's a great morning.
Well, and I went to Sweetwater High School, and I was in the band. I was drum major. Yeah. And so our band, as you know, marches around the track every year. And I don't know where they're at in the order, but we used to kick off the race day pageant, the pre-race pageant, at 8 a.m. And no one in my family in 4 years of high school ever once saw me march around on race morning.
Because it's too early?
Because it's too early, yeah. They're still eating biscuits and gravy at the house and drinking Bloody Marys. And every year they would say, okay, we're going to get over and see you. And I'd say, you have to be over there early. I said, literally, go in, watch me, and then come back to the house if you want. Like, you have plenty of time to get back and then come back to the track. And wild promises every year, but never happened.
Yeah.
My mom's best friend's husband was always here at 6 a.m. when the gates opened. He was he was that guy, you know, and walks across the track before they close the gates so you don't go in the tunnel. Yeah. And so he's the only person in my life that ever saw me do that. But it was awesome every year.
Yeah.
Because since I grew up loving it, you know, when I got into high school and found out that was a thing
to go around.
Did, I was like, we get, seriously?
Race morning.
Like, this is, we're allowed to do this? And,
No, that's as I remember my first race coming and just watching the band and thinking, how cool is that they get to march around? And even though there's not a lot of people in the grandstand, just the idea that you're out there and you're playing, you get to march around the track, it's very cool.
It is, yeah.
It's cool until you hit that banking on the track.
Yeah.
Or when it's a really hot day, even in the morning, and that asphalt, just the heat that comes up, and by the time you're done, you're like, okay.
I will say, a little warm. No matter how hot it is race day, since we went early, nothing ever compared to the god-awfulness of the 500 Festival Parade.
That's a warm day.
It is a warm day, and the 500 Festival Parade is a wonderful parade, but you could not pay me enough money to ever march in that again in a band suit, in a polyester, long pant, long sleeve.
Yeah. It's a long route. It is a long
3.1
route.
3.1 miles.
Yes, it is a long route.
And, well, at 3.6, based on where we had to prep, because it's such a long procession. So 3.6 miles on Saturday, and then obviously the 2.5 around the track, plus we marched from the high school over. So in 2 days, pushing 7 miles.
That's enough marching.
Yeah, it is. It's a lot of marching. Well, and then, of course, Saturday night, I had to walk down Georgetown with my family every year, because that's tradition.
That's
so I got more than my 10,000 steps in on.
So you needed an iWatch or a Fitbit back then.
I did.
Know how many steps you did, right? Well, how cool would
wouldn't
that have
been? Great, to know, and then that could be my goal.
That would be a lot of steps.
I should.
The parade is hot though. We've done the parade the last few years, just riding in a car and just the heat, just sitting there. It's
I don't know what it is, but every day on that Saturday it is.
It's Indiana.
Just like
it's Indiana.
just like rain is dicey the entire month of May, yep. and then as soon as Memorial Day hits, we will go weeks without...
Yeah. Drought.
We'll have a total drought. It'll, chances are rain drought ever. The entire
yeah.
month of May, and then...
Yep.
Soon, yep, then drought. Yep, and it's, yeah, same for the Saturday before. It's always super hot.
It is hot. It is hot.
Let's see, what else do I have for you? Oh, so one of the questions that we like to ask people that we interview is, what is your hype song?
Jeez, hype song.
Like, what's a song that, you know, maybe getting ready in the morning song or something when you're, you know, kind of getting psyched? Are you more of a, you like the silence or you like...
My music taste is so eclectic, and I don't know that there is a hype song.
Okay, you got a couple of artists that...
So, like I said, I'm way eclectic, so I love Counting Crows, I love Jim Blossoms.
Oh, Counting Crows are awesome in concert, too.
And I've never seen them in concert.
Are you kidding?
No, and I would love to see them.
We can go next time that they're in town together, because it is hands down the best concert I've ever been to.
I'm a massive Melissa Etheridge fan of all mm-hmm. crazy things. I love Les Mis.
Nice.
So, I mean, I'm all over the map, sure. right? So it just sort of depends on, I'll do country music. I'm just, yeah. the only thing I really don't do is rap, and I still can't quite figure the EDM thing out.
It's not.
I'm not quite there yet, yeah. but I can't think of anything off the top of my head that would be a...
Just kind
of
depends what mood you're in.
Song. Yeah, I think it just depends
that,
on where I am.
That makes a lot of sense.
Yeah.
Sometimes
yeah.
it depends on the mood.
Yeah.
Very lawyer answer.
It depends.
It does. That's true, though. It's not a bad answer. It's the right answer.
It is.
You know, especially from a lawyer, because you want the right answer. So they're going to say it depends on all the different facts. Because
absolutely.
I don't know. It depends.
It depends. Yeah. Aside from your parents, who would you say has been the most influential person on your life?
That's a really good question. Obviously, my parents, my mom and dad have had a huge influence on my life. You know, I had a chance to work for Mayor Goldsmith.
Yeah.
Steve gave me a lot of opportunity to sort of follow my passion, which was the motorsport thing. So we figured out ways to, we created the Mayor's Motorsports Task Force to yeah. encourage motorsport business to relocate to the city of Indianapolis. So that was really an opportunity for me to really take what was more of a hobby and turn it into something that was part of my duty at work. So that was, he had a lot of influence on me. His work ethic mm-hmm. Was unbelievable. You know, whether you liked his politics or not, the guy would get up at 4 o'clock in the morning. He worked till midnight and was nonstop trying to make things better for the community. So I learned an awful lot in my time for him. And so those would be. He would probably be the one if I had to pick one person that had the biggest influence on me.
Yeah.
I hear that a lot from people.
Absolutely. Well, yeah.
And he was a lot of ways misunderstood. When, you know, he ran for governor and lost. He was mayor 2 terms here. He is such a policy and policy wonk. Maybe it's not a fair way to, but he loved to solve problems. And he loved that more than I think he loved what we think of as a politician right now. Somebody out shaking hands and patting somebody on the back. He loved to just, what's your problem? Okay, I'm going to try and figure out how to solve your problem, and didn't create maybe that emotional connection that some people are looking for. But there was not somebody with a better heart and a better focus on how do you solve problems for a community.
I like that. Yeah.
Excellent. All right. Oh, so we asked a few people, you know, if they had any suggestions of questions. Yeah. So, let's see. For my brother-in-law, who is the most famous person in your phone?
Oh, geez. Well, I see I'm a race person, so the most famous people on my phone would be like Mario Andretti or AJ Foyt or somebody like that.
Sure.
Right? In my mind, that would be the most famous people. In my phone, I think, would be one of those folks that were so successful here and that you know we looked up to the most. I don't know.
Yeah. Have you developed any unexpected friendships with celebrities or different people that have come to the race that aren't necessarily in racing?
Not necessarily. I mean, there's not anybody that I literally, and it's hard to explain. My wife and I were talking about this the other night about you know, you could use this position as a way to go out and connect with people like that, or go out and connect with a bunch of CEOs. And mm-hmm. while I have opportunities to meet with those folks, I spend most of my time trying to go out and connect with our customers, because Absolutely. This place doesn't happen but for the customers. And that's why you'll find me on race day in the grandstands and not in, you know, not the in suites. The suites. And so for me, we've got people that if we've got celebrities here that are managing through the celebrities and making sure that the, you know, that they're taken care of. So for me, I think it's, you know, there's really not anybody that I've that there've been a lot of people that have come here that aren't necessarily racing people that, yeah. that we stay in touch with, but there's not somebody that I would call. Wow, I've become a friend with somebody because of what it is. I don't feel like the positions. For me, it literally is about make yeah. sure our customers are happy.
So the answer we were looking there for there was us.
Yeah.
Well, of course, yes.
A little hurt by that.
Yeah,
one.
Sorry.
I suppose having AJ or Mario ranked above us is fine.
Yeah, that's acceptable. Yeah. So, but yeah, yeah. I think that's awesome. Well, and I, you know, we've seen lots of. Well, not lots, but, you know, since, what is it, 1990 or 93, you know, there's been four different presidents, and I think that you are easily the most visible, the most involved with the fans. I mean, I think that's why you're seen as a celebrity. I mean, you can't walk around this place, you know, at any event without being stopped, and I don't know that there's that many other presidents of racetracks that are that recognizable and that well-known and well-liked by the customers that come.
You can pay us later.
Okay, well, thank you, yeah. Well, that's flattering, and I think if that, in fact, is the case, I think it's because people recognize that I'm a fan just like they are.
I think that's absolutely what it is.
And I'm trying to be a caretaker and help the team guide this place in the direction that, as fans, we want it to go.
Absolutely, yeah, in my opinion, are, you know, a great leader with your team, and, you know, because we know that it's not all just you. You do have a wonderful yep. team of people that work with you and for you, and you guys all pull very long hours and put a lot of work into making everything happen. But yeah, I think that excitement is I mean, it you just exude excitement the entire month of May. I mean, it's very very visible.
It's funny. I'll go home sometimes, and Beth will call and say, "Hey, can you stop at the Meijer or the Kroger or whatever and grab something?" And I'll just, and at the end of that, I'll sort of be walking. And that point in time, I'm sort of thinking about the day and what's going on. And somebody will come up to me and start talking, and you instantly have to remember, "Oh, I'm promoting." Yeah, you know, so you got to keep it going. So in May, it does go 24 hours a day, pretty much.
I bet.
And then you hibernate in June, right?
Unfortunately, we convert the track. Well, normally what I do is end up going to Detroit because Chevy's such a good partner. Chevy's so invested in that event. I love to go up and support them, and then end up getting ready for SVRA. We got the Corvette event around here, and this year, and then we would get ready obviously for Brickyard. So this year would be July, maybe the month that we get a chance to at least slow down a little bit and get ready for LPGA. It'll be August now, and then as we roll into Brickyard in September, so I may get a week or two in the summer that's more like a normal summer,
yeah,
which might be kind of interesting.
Be nice.
You won't know what to do.
Won't know what to do with myself. In fact, I'll probably still be here.
No, you'll probably create a project for yourself.
That's right.
It happens.
Now, what's a project that you've been a part of since you started, aside from, you know, all of the improvements with the 100th anniversary and all that, what would you say is the next thing that you are most excited about having seen come to fruition?
Well, I think the way that we have really started looking at, as we led into the 100th, we looked at race day, and especially the pre-race, how can we really treat that as an entire production, where before it used to be treated as all these individual elements. So we really weren't weaving together the pre-race show in a way that it felt like a pre-race show. Mm-hmm. They were things we expected, and we all enjoyed them, but they were disconnected. So sure. So we have worked really hard with ABC, who's been our television partner, to sync up the television broadcast with our in-house experience, and then making that in-house experience more of an entire production. And while I still shrug and get all uptight when we get real quiet in the venue because ABC's live and trying to work through those things to make the experience here better. So that's one of the things I think I've had more fun with, and I think is really important because, at least for me, that's 30 minutes right of the most important 30 minutes of the event. And I think that's for a lot of our folks. And if it's not the most important, it is part of what makes the day special. So we brought in, obviously, Allison Melancton is with all of the event experience she had in Super Bowl. And through the Super Bowl, she met a guy named Frank Sipavitz, who used to work for the NFL, who's come in and really helped us consult on how to work through that. So, and then grabbing a bunch of us internally as a team to say, okay, how do we make that show, those 30 minutes that lead up? And actually, it's more than that. It starts with the beginning of the day. In 2016, we thought, man, the Borg Warner is a big deal. So shouldn't we make it a big deal instead of just showing up? It's just already sitting on the Yard of Bricks. So we do the whole Borg parade we've done the last 2 years. We do a Borg handoff on the Yard of Bricks. So to me, that's probably been the most fun and the thing I think makes the most sense is how do you take care of what's special, which is pre-race, and a lot of those things have to be there, right, because it is the tradition, but how do you make sure that it feels a little bit more special? And the Borg's a perfect example. The Borg shouldn't just be there. It's a big deal. That trophy is a big deal, so let's make sure handing it off to the Speedway is a big deal. So
absolutely.
For me, that's one of the projects that maybe people don't notice. It's probably more subtle. But for me, I think it's just the thing that takes the event from an A to an A+.
Absolutely. I actually have noticed since we marched around, because in high school, it was, you know, we marched, and then there was a lull. And, you know, anytime there was a lull, they would just send out the big drum for Purdue.
For
and
sure.
So, you know, I remember it's like, then there'd be, okay, when's the next? Okay, here's something, and then lull. All right, send out the big drum again, which we're big IU fans, so I was like, Purdue has a great band. They do. And I actually went to Purdue for a semester because I wanted to be a veterinarian. Yeah. So I can say that I gave it a solid try.
That's good.
But it's a much smoother, you know. It's
and there's still those lulls. And we still work on them. There's two audiences, right?
It's a
lot better. 300,000 plus people in the venue, and then there's millions plus watching at home. But before, ABC would do their show, we'd do ours, and then it just didn't work. So we start almost immediately after the race thinking about the next year. As we get closer, we spend more time together. So I think those are the things for us. It's just really make it more professional while still paying attention to what the traditions are that make it so important. So that, for me, is probably the one thing that people probably don't see that the team really has focused on trying to make better.
Yeah. Definitely. Yeah, no, I think that it's definitely been more streamlined and concise.
Yep.
Yeah. So we are very concerned about the safety robot that is coming out in May. How durable is this thing?
So I think after watching the fun on social media after we announced that, so the safety robot is really more of an evening type robot. So he's not going to be wandering through the facility. He or she, I don't know what we ended up naming it, is not going to be wandering through the facility during event time.
Okay.
I mean, I think people will see it because we want people to know. But
it's more of like a roaming security guard.
It could have been issues, but it's really a lot for the downtime hours, helping us just make sure things are okay. It can check on, you know, make sure doors are locked, make sure lights are off and not on, you know, make sure cars aren't where there's, you know, cars that are supposed to be places are and cars that are showing up that aren't supposed to be there. It's just another tool for us. It's a 1,000-acre facility. 275 of it is the racetrack.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a great opportunity for us to work with the folks at Sharp and really try and make the place safer. So when we announced it, I think people immediately thought, oh, so this is the new yellow shirt. They're going to walk out. And then people talked about all the things they were going to do to the poor robot.
that was our concern.
So I think we didn't explain well enough how it was going to be used. So I think we'll be okay on the robot.
All right. Yeah, we talked about it a few weeks ago on a podcast episode, and it was during the time that they had the voting for the name.
Yes.
And which I wanted to do a write-in, Optimus Speed.
That's a good one, too. I like that, too.
Yeah, because Optimus Power, I mean, Optimus Prime, Optimus Power, I thought Optimus Speed, I think, is a little... but one of the options was Doug Jr.
Yes.
And so we threw out the idea of if they put a yellow shirt on it, we think that the robot would be safe because everybody respects the yellow shirts. And in fact, one of the things that I tell people when they come with me, I say there are two people that you always listen to, anybody with a badge and anybody with a yellow shirt.
Yes.
I said, otherwise, they have no authority.
Yes.
I was like, but do not disrespect either of those two people and you will have a wonderful weekend.
That's exactly right.
Like, and if you need any help, those are who you... badge or yellow shirt.
Yep.
So we thought, you know, put a yellow shirt on it. People would probably not destroy the robot.
That was a really cute idea, actually. So
and
I think maybe Eddie Gossage even went one step further and said, make it 80 years old and put a yellow shirt
on
it.
He was
trying to really stereotype our yellow shirt. They don't tend to be 80, but...
love them.
One of the things that I really try and do is make sure I know as many of their names as I can. And those are part-time folks, right? Mm-hmm. Some of them are only here race weekend. But for me, that they do such a great job, and oftentimes they're the only person interaction that somebody that comes to the event has with somebody that represents the Speedway. So you really want them to, and most of them are so passionate about the Speedway that they do a great job. So they are our frontline PR, they're frontline problem solvers, and they make it really special.
They absolutely do.
They do.
So another thought we had, if they were going to go with Doug Jr., because I said that you're a lot of things, but an authoritarian, you know, safety enforcer robot did not seem like it. So
right.
So then we thought if they were going to do Jug Jr., that another way to protect the robot is, you know, a bow tie. Naturally.
Obviously.
And
naturally.
And have you at one of the main gates, and when people walk in, be more of like an informational, you know, welcome to the Annapolis Motor Speedway. I'm Doug Jr. Yeah. Would you like to take a selfie?
There you go. Yeah.
Would you like to know some facts about the track?
Yes. Yeah. Can I answer a question? Can yes. I help you? Yeah. Yeah. Can I help you find something?
Did yeah. you know the track was built in?
Yeah. Those things you think about in your sleep, right?
That, yeah.
Yeah. Which is great.
We enjoyed ourselves. We went on a little tangent about it. But,
that's good.
Yeah. And then Doug Robot, we enjoyed ourselves.
That's good.
Nobody pays us to go on tangents, but we do.
Yeah. But with the growing numbers of fans in the last couple of years, something that we thought last year, because we had some cousins that usually come that weren't able to make it, and so, you know, it's always disappointing. And then, you know, my sister and I and Molly, we started saying, you know, it's the 101st hashtag. We were like, new traditions. And then we started doing hashtag, you know, it's your race. And so my niece came for the first time. She had just finished her freshman year at IU, and you know, and so she came and she's like, "What are we gonna do?" I said, "Well, it's your race. What do you want to do?"
Right.
It's your race. It's
yeah. And that you know, it's funny that sort of fits with what we've done the last couple of years. So the greatest blank in racing allows people to put in what makes it the greatest whatever. Right. It's the greatest snake pit. It's the greatest music. It's the greatest family reunion. It's all those things that is the greatest race in the world. And the idea behind This Is May. It's sort of the same thing, because This Is May can mean a lot of different things to a lot of people. Sure, there's a race that goes on, but This Is May.
Yeah.
Each of us define what May is on our own. And so that It's Your Race is sort of the same exact theme as what we've been the last year. Because it is, for as many people are here, it is really, really personal to each of us. And there's a whole bunch of things that we all agree on that are important for race day, right? 500 miles, 33 cars. Winner drinks milk, the BorgWarner Trophy, Yard of Bricks, and there's a whole bunch of, and then all of a sudden we all start having our own little traditions that make it your race, or make it May, or whatever it is, and that's what really makes it special. It's not your unique event that is defined the same by everybody.
Absolutely.
We all have that same core that we believe in,
sure,
but then the rest of it we build on our own.
Mm-hmm.
Like the decal now downtown is a big thing for me.
Oh, yeah.
On the JW.
Yeah. I see it every time I leave the parking garage for work. I'm like, there it is. It's up. It's time.
And we thought in 2016 we were just going to do that one time, and then thought, well, you know what? It makes a statement.
It does.
And so we did it last year, and I just saw the artwork the other day for what it'll look like this year. So, I mean, it is become part of what, you know, we connecting. And part of the reason I think the last couple of years have been so good is because we've made a concerted effort of, we got to reconnect with downtown. Mm-hmm. So when you're downtown, you know that it's May, and it's time for the 500, and the airport does a great job of supporting us. So if you come in town and you land at the airport and you're going to have a meeting downtown, you get bombarded with the fact that, oh, hey, there's something different about Indianapolis in May. It's race weekend.
Yep, and I love that, and I love the 500 Fashion Fridays that you guys started last year. Oh,
some of us believe.
Yeah, except Allison made me wear that really bad checkered suit the first day. I don't know if you guys remember that one.
You've seen what.
Yeah, but you guys look good. You guys do it in a fashionable way. And for me, that one was a little...
Maybe just take the blazer.
Yeah, you know what? The one thing I didn't wear, I have, that Beth's dad had a checkered blazer, and he passed away, and I kept it. And I think I'll wear it this May and just sort of honor him, which might be kind of cool.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
There are a bunch, and you weren't there, but I met him last year, a guy in a checkered suit, a guy in a suit of bricks. Like the pattern was...
Oh, that's awesome. Yeah, that's really cool.
Like, oh, we have to take a picture.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So one of my favorite things to do, and what you talking to just about the different kind of clothes, is when people come up to me. So I love when people tweet or post license plates with something on the license plate, rated 500, so the during the whole year. But if, the month of May, I love the different Indianapolis Motor Speedway themed tattoos.
Yeah.
And it's crazy. People have these really subtle tattoos, and there are these people that have these almost TK-like tattoos on there. And it's fascinating just to see how passionate people are about the 500 and the Indianapolis Motor Speedway, and just the lengths that they'll go from a tattoo standpoint. It's pretty. That's become one of the fun things for me. Mm-hmm. Is people come up, go, hey, you want to check out? And it's, yeah, sure, I guess I'll show it, as long as tell me where it is. But it's really fun to see that passion that people care. You know, they care enough about this place that they're going to put that there forever.
It's a big commitment.
It is a big commitment. It is.
It is. I love seeing that as well.
Yeah.
And you know, sometimes it's not always on people that you would expect.
No, for sure.
I saw a great, you know, the Wings, Wheel, and Flag emblem on a woman that was between 55 and 60 once. And I was, and I thought, I would not have would not have guessed that.
Nope.
And then I said, can I take a picture of that?
Obviously.
And I was like, I need one of those someday.
Yeah. I'm not brave enough.
Jump out of a plane, but won't do that.
No, no, not the needle thing.
It's where you're drawing the line.
Mm-hmm.
My mother would just kill me. That's the biggest part.
Yeah, my parents probably would, you know. It's funny when you're over 50 and you're still worrying about what your parents think.
I don't think you're ever
over that. It's yeah, no, they're always parents. Yeah.
For sure.
We do have to ask you one non-race question. Because
yes.
Friday is, you know, the start of the Winter Olympics.
Yes.
What's your favorite Winter Olympic sport?
You know, I like the speed skating. I like downhill skiing. I love the bobsleds. You know, I'm a big Winter Olympic fan. In fact, I'm a big Olympic fan. And I think part of it just is the pride we have in our country and the stories that are behind a lot of the people and the sacrifices they make, you know, to get to that level. Nick Gepper coming here after he won his medal in 2014. So I have a personal interest in watching him. I think all of us as Indy 500 fans, he loves this place. Yeah. So that's a cool story to follow. I'm not a big figure skating person, but I'll watch it, and I enjoy it. I don't get as excited about it. I love the luge. So for the most part, I'm an Olympic fan across the board, and you know, the snowboarding stuff would be interesting to see what Shaun White can do.
Yeah.
So I'll be. I don't watch a lot of TV, but I'll watch a lot of the Olympics for sure.
Awesome.
Yeah.
I love watching the Olympics.
I just get way too.
And I'm the same. It is just really cool to the pride of being an American, and it's cool to do it on that stage.
Yes.
And really, when you think about the gifts that those people have that you know that I didn't certainly get, and then just the sacrifices that they make to get to that point and to represent our country, and like I said, some of the stories and the challenges that people overcome to get to where they are, that's what makes it so fun.
Yeah.
And it's really about competing more than it is about like professional athletes, about making money, which makes it fun.
Absolutely.
That's why I like college sports more than professional sports.
Yeah. Well, and I just think it's awesome because it's an event where, you know, the whole country is on the same page and is banded together to cheer on our Olympic team.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Even if you're not a big Olympic fan, you know, you still, everybody here, we're all rooting for Team USA.
Yep.
And it's just a cool feeling to have something like that. You know, there's with a country full of so many different people that we all are together
on.
Yeah.
We need more of that.
We do.
We do.
We do.
Most of us are sort of all together in the middle. We just have to figure out how we can.
I know. Yeah. There's
put our arms around each other and move this place forward.
I know. We keep hearing the people on the extremes.
We do.
Most of us are.
Yeah.
Most of us are reasonable in the middle.
Figure out how to solve problems and go forward.
Yes.
For sure.
Unless you like CART, then you're dead to us. That's dead to us. What can I say?
I guess we all have something like that, right? So.
Yeah, I was going to say, I'll even let CART slide, but Purdue fans, I will not.
Yeah, my wife's a Purdue grad, so I had to give that one up. So I learned.
And I really liked your wife.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah. Yeah.
Well, it's not everybody can be perfect.
That's exactly what my father said.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
What's a hidden talent of yours or a hobby of yours that most people don't know?
I don't know that there's a hidden talent. I love the snowboard. I love the wakeboard. So I mean, if I get a chance, I love doing that. That's a lot of fun for me. I love to write, and I think that's the one thing that I don't do as much now as that I used to do. And so that's something that I really enjoy doing. So someday maybe I'll write again. But in college, I love to write fiction. And it's pretty fun. Every once in a while, I run across a box with a lot of my fiction in it and think about, man, I'd love to get those out and maybe rewrite them and see where that is. So, But that's, and I love, you know, I obviously love the Speedway history, and people know that. And so I spend a lot of my time just continuing to read and understand more and more about the history of this place.
That's awesome.
Yeah. Very cool.
Yeah.
I did not know you were a writer.
That's.
Love to write.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's excellent.
I'm surprised law school didn't kill that for you.
Well, that's a completely different writing, right?
I say,
that's true.
So that you in law school, you have to kind of unlearn all of the things you learned up to that point about writing. It's a completely different style. And when you, so I was a journalism major, right? And then to go to law school and go to legal writing and think, and then you get your first paper bag and you're like, what are you talking about, lady? This is not, how can you? And then I literally, that's how I felt. And I ended up having a meeting with my professor to try and understand. And it really was a matter, and she said it, she said, you have to kind of unlearn what you have been taught your whole life in order to write a brief, mm-hmm. the way that they were looking for a brief to be written. And it's actually, once you get comfortable with it, it's actually probably a good thing, right? Because it does make you think differently. It does make you process arguments differently. So there's a huge benefit to it. But it is completely foreign and completely uncomfortable and completely not fun when you're going through it. So I can see why you would think it would be something that, you know, it would drive the writing desire out of someone.
It drove the reading desire out of me for 4 years.
Well, reading was tough, too.
Yeah. And I remember during nursing school, I thought, I can't wait to graduate so that I can read for fun again.
Yeah.
For sure.
Mm-hmm. I can't wait to read a book just because I want to.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, let me see. I think I had about run through most of my questions. Oh, what's your all-time favorite car?
A personal car or race car? Race car's easy. Well, my favorite Indy car is Foyt's 1977 Coyote.
Yeah.
I was such a Foyt fan, that being my first race, and that being his fourth win car. For sure, that is my favorite car.
Oh, and I love the concrete cars they've got in front of the museum.
Absolutely.
Oh,
very cool.
That was an excellent addition.
Very, very cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're a little heavy. They're hard to move. I like Donahue's 72 car a lot because I love the wing and I love the color. I mean, that's a car that I think thinks pretty cool. I'm a Chevy guy. I always have been, which is cool since we're a Chevy track. And mm-hmm. I've always sort of been a Camaro guy. So I like most of the generations of the Camaros. My first car I bought when I got out of college was an 89 IROC Z28. And I drove it for a few years and then sort of outgrew, you know, I thought it wasn't the most practical car to have. And I thought about selling it. My dad said, you'll be really disappointed if you sold it. And I'd read an Auto Week article when I was in college about a guy who had a car when he was in high school and sold it and spent the bulk of his life. He writes the story about how his whole life he's trying to chase his first car, and it was actually a Corvette, and he ends up finding it. And so my dad said, I read this article about it. I said, okay, we'll keep it. So kept it and actually stayed in a garage at my parents' house forever. And for Christmas this year, Carter and I were shopping for his mom for Christmas, and we drive home like 2 days before Christmas, and we drive in the driveway, and there's this car in the driveway with lights shining at us. And I said, who's here? And Carter goes, Dad! That's your Camaro. So it hadn't run in like 15 years, and Beth had gotten the Camaro towed from my parents' house and got it started. And so Carter and I have taken it on as a project now to just get it running again. So I've had the car 30 years. I bought it in October of 88. It was an 89. And so I'm a big Camaro fan. So
that is awesome.
So that would be my actual favorite car is literally...
Yeah,
that's a wonderful story.
Yeah, so it's pretty cool, and it was such a surprise... Because Carter and I have talked about it since he was tiny. Because mm-hmm. he'd go to my parents' house and he'd see it back there and go, oh, Dad, someday. And I'd go, yeah, someday we'll get it someday. And then, you know, big talk, right? Mm-hmm. And Beth's always saying, hey, you can't promise kids things. You got to do. I said, I never promised. I just said someday is all I said. And then so it was, and Carter was maybe more excited than I was. And it's running. And he's like, can we go for a ride, Dad? I said, well, you got your permit. You drive it. So it was pretty cool. It was really neat.
That is awesome. Yeah. Well, awesome. And so... Molly and I both come from blended families as well.
Yep.
And so for me, I grew up working on cars with my dad because he had put himself through college by being a mechanic and then decided that he was going to forego all that and become police officer. But so we always worked on our own cars and I was always interested. And my older brother from my dad's first marriage, when he was home from college, he bought a used Mercedes that, you know, just always needed work, but he got a good deal on it and knew that his dad could help. And so, you know, I remember I have so many wonderful memories of building a great relationship with my dad and with my brother, Joe, you know, that all centers around being in the garage working on cars. Mm-hmm. And the car that I learned how to drive was a 59 Ford Edsel.
That's awesome.
Only 5,800 ever made. And it was two-tone Desert Sand and Desert Rose.
That's awesome. That's great. Yeah.
And my mom, her only requirement was that my dad installed seat belts, which made no difference because it was the two-door, it was the coupe. Right. And so the seats just flip forward. So it doesn't, and the only seat belts you could put in were
lap belts.
Yeah, the airplane seat belts. Yep. Yeah. So, but he said, okay, sure. We had just gotten rid of a Jeep that you could take the doors and the top off of. So she was pretty satisfied with the fact that it had hard sides all around because would take us out all the time in the Jeep with no tops. And, and she was having no part of that. So the Edsel was...
Yeah, Edsel's big.
She actually bought that as an anniversary gift. And I think part of it was that she was ready for him to stop driving her girls around in the Jeep. But yeah, and so we worked on that car and that's the car I learned how to drive in. And, you know, it's just a lot of special memories in a garage working with your dad.
And there's not as much of that anymore, right? I mean, cars are harder to work on now. And so this, hopefully for Carter, he'll look back someday and go, oh, that was cool. We had in the garage. I mean, we've spent every weekend so far since Christmas just out in the garage just doing little things and ordering stuff on the internet that we need for the car. And he's waiting, hey, Dad, we got this today. And so it's been fun.
That's wonderful.
So I'm hoping one day in May we'll drive it out the racetrack and park it out here and have some fun.
Well, yeah. That's now, okay. I personally want to know this. Is Community Day going to be at the track this year? Because I used to love that you could drive your car around on Community Day.
So we are not doing a Community Day drive your car around at the track this year. And so Community Day, the last few years, we've tried to take drivers out into the community.
Yes.
So I think the plan this year, and again, that's, you know, the team's sort of working on that, I think, is to get the drivers back out in the community again. It's interesting when you talk to people, the Speedway is, if you've never been, can be an intimidating place and
Absolutely.
People can just grow up a few blocks away and say, I never went there. So we really are trying to figure out ways, how can we take the Speedway to people and then try to encourage them to come. And the last couple of years we've done a lot with IPS with some of our drivers and we're going to continue to try and just push people out into the community and try and be the, you know, try and say, hey, come on in. And instead of wondering why people don't show up, let's give them a reason to come. So. The driving around the track thing, we can probably arrange something for you if you want to do that.
Yeah, that'd be awesome. Well, I have my oldest nephew, his birthday is May 28th, and so I take out all my nieces and nephews around their birthday, and we do whatever they want to do, except Thomas, every year, he could do whatever he wanted to do, but it was always on Community Day.
Yep.
I said, we're going to do what Aunt Abby wants to do first, and then we're going to do what you want to do. And so picked him up from school, came to the track, signed our little waiver that says, you know, all right, we accept that if we die by being an idiot, the track is not responsible, and, you know, drove around, and that one of the first years I did it, we had a mom of a girl I was on the swim team with, worked in the credentialing office, so a few pit passes came out of the garage. Yeah.
Yes.
And so, you know, he went and saw the garages, I mean, and just, you know, fell in love immediately. And yeah, it was just, I loved doing that. And every year I would, even if it was the only time that I could sneak away to get over here on Community Day, I would still just make a point. Just, okay, I'm going to drive around. Yep. I'm going to survey, you know, survey the scene, just be here. And actually the Edsel has been around.
That's awesome.
Has been around the track.
I think that'll happen again in the future. I just think over time, because we did it so much, there was less and less demand for it, and we thought let's utilize the drivers and get out in the community. And I think, I think as we get a little bit of distance between the last time we did that, it'll come back again at some point in time.
Very cool. Well, I think that's awesome to have the drivers go out into the community, and I love that.
The kiddos, it's kind of fun.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, well, I love how accessible IndyCar drivers are in general.
Yep.
We were talking earlier that there's no other sporting venue that you could go to, and, you know, as much as we, you know, love Colts players here in Indianapolis, you're not going to go to Lucas Oil and see them milling around in the entryway, you know, happily talking to people, taking pictures and all that. It's such a unique,
it's part of their, they understand that that's part of their job, right? I mean, that's really what they're supposed to do, and they really
do. They have to market themselves as well.
Right. And they really do appreciate the fact that somebody has spend some money and taking some time off, whatever it is, to come out and support what they're doing. Because without that, it doesn't work. And they are really, really good at understanding that. And they know that that means they need to pay back. And I think they enjoy it. I mean, it is fun to interact with people who care about your sport, especially kids. I mean, they love to interact with kids. And we do have a great group of IndyCar drivers for sure.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Say Ed Carpenter was only a little bit put off when I yelled at him from the escalator at the JW Marriott.
It's okay. It's all right.
I was just so excited.
You'd be more put off if you didn't yell.
I know. Well, he was going up, and I was like, Ed Carpenter! He's like, we love you! Your kids are adorable!
That's the bottom.
And Molly just turns and goes, you're going to end up with a restraining order. And she said, is that going to be the only time you do that? I said, probably not.
Yeah, it just depends on who I see next.
And immediately saw James Hinchcliffe. Hench!
Jim Hinch will probably yell back. So he did. Different personalities, right? Ed's going to look at you like, who's that yelling at me? And Hinch is going to go, ah!
Ed looked at me like, she's going to be a police problem. And Hinch said, right? Yeah. I said, and I had just seen him on the Pat McAfee Live at 9. I said, I'm a scuba diver too. And he was like, yeah! And then we talked to him later, got a picture. I said, I'm sorry for yelling at you. I just couldn't contain my excitement.
It's all right.
So do you... how long did it take you of being in the racing world until you lost some of that, like just being, you know, struck with awe and wonder when you met drivers that you had, you know, watched and followed? And
I still sort of get it every time I'm around AJ, right? I
mean,
when you're around,
he's the GOAT.
It's like, oh my gosh,
I mean, he is the GOAT of.
So that's it's still, you got to take the 10-year-old out of me and remember that, okay, so 40 years have passed. It's okay now.
Well, that makes us feel better because we worry about that for us because we're just giddy all the time. And
Because
it is so exciting.
I don't know that I think a lot of, you know, they're normal people like we are. I really appreciate what they do. I try to make sure that they don't think that I think they're anything other than just than normal people.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I mean, AJ's different. And Mario a little bit is different. And I was an AJ fan, so it's hard to be a Mario fan when you're an AJ fan. Mm-hmm. In fact, I wasn't a Mario fan. But I've come to appreciate what great work Mario has done for our sport and continues to do for our sport. And he's so passionate about it. So he's another one when you're around. It is a really special person.
I would say he's quite the ambassador for IndyCar.
Unbelievable. And
all the two-seater rides he does. And, I mean, he is...
And he's still competitive, right? He'll get out and he wants to know what his time was in the two-seater, even though... Because he doesn't want somebody to have a faster two-seater time than he... I mean, he is... but he's just
so personable.
And he gives time and gives back. And but, most of our guys... it is kind of weird sometimes, like when they tested last fall... Dixon and Hinch tested last fall, and I'd heard some rumors about some of the things they wanted done to the tracks. I call them, and it is kind of weird when you sit back and go, I'm calling these guys, having a conversation, asking them, trying to push them on some of the things that they think need to be done and understand. And but I think the ones it's the AJs and the Marios that are really kind of
that you still
So 24-hour race when I was down there with you guys, and right after I'd left, I got to my car, and Bobby Unser called. Yeah, and that's one of those. And Bobby's trying to figure out when he's bringing his bus, and because he's coming back in May, which is awesome.
Oh, great.
But it's just really weird, and it's like, that's Bobby Unser. He's calling me to tell you. Yeah. So there is a 10-year-old in me that still sometimes I have to kind of reel in.
Reel in a little bit.
Yeah, for sure.
Definitely. Well, I say getting the stand-up desk should help with that. Help get out some of that anxious energy.
Sure. Yes.
Yeah. In theory.
Yeah. In theory.
That's what they say.
Yeah.
In theory. So, obviously, we love this track. What would you say is your, some of your other favorite venues to go to? Some of your favorite tracks. You don't have to pick just one.
So my favorite venues are local dirt tracks.
Oh, one in Kokomo.
Kokomo's awesome.
Oh, fantastic.
Lawrenceburg's awesome. Mm-hmm. Putnamville's awesome. Terre Haute, Tri-State. I love going to local tracks because that's just... pure race fan
and such a and raw energy there.
It's awesome. So
well, and your admission is your pit pass. It's everything. Yes. I mean, you can.
So
you
for
go,
me,
you see,
if I'm not here, and you said, "What do you want to do on a weekend?" I'd say, "Okay, where's a USAC?" I love USAC midgets. I love sprint cars, but I love midgets even more. So going to those events probably. I love the camping experience at Road America in Mid-Ohio.
Mm-hmm.
The tracks are really cool, but the camping experience that the fan has there and just the way the fans just get out, it's sort of like a mini Indy 500. So I love those events.
It is. Just immediately at home this past year, and it was our first time.
It's awesome.
And yeah,
it's one of those ones where I would encourage everybody that if you're in Indianapolis. Grab a tent and go camp out. It is Mid-Ohio, Road America, either one are just fantastic places. And if you've never been to something other than Indianapolis, it's such a neat, different experience. You have to try it.
Yeah.
So that's, those would probably be my two local. I love the 24-hour race. Mm-hmm. And you guys obviously saw why. I mean, it's, and I like it because it's just everybody in the sport comes down at a time when we're all desperate for racing.
Yes.
And it's, your IndyCar favorites are there, your NASCAR folks are there, you got all your sports car people, F1 folks come over. It's a neat place in that, and
when you end up with such a great mix of fans as well, because it's not just people that like IMSA. It's you have NASCAR fans, you have F1 fans, you have IndyCar fans. I mean, there's it was such a great. I mean, we met so many race fans that. You know, everybody knows of the Indy 500, but not everybody's an IndyCar fan. And so,
for sure.
Yeah, that's an awesome, awesome race. They do a really good job with the camping there for that.
And there's something wonderfully annoying about race car noises for 24 hours straight.
Yeah.
I mean, it's like, oh my gosh, it's so loud. And, but it's, oh my gosh, it's so loud. It's all the same thing. And, you know, in the middle of the night when that's going on, as you guys experience with cars just a few feet away from you, right? It's... And you can't really talk to anyone, right? I mean, and then it's like, hey, got quiet because then that rare full course yellow. But it's pretty neat. And then I love, to the extent I can do it, the night qualifying for the U.S. Nationals at Raceway Park is Connor and I have gone the last few years. He didn't get to go this year, so just Carter and I went. But that is, if you haven't done that, a top fuel car, a funny car at night down the quarter mile, 300 plus miles an hour is pretty cool. So. I'm a race fan across the board.
Yeah.
Right? So for me, those would be my, I mean, not just one or two. That's a lot of things that for me is, that's a good weekend if you can do any of those.
Yeah. Absolutely. Absolutely. All right. Any other questions you have?
I think he has answered all of my questions.
Awesome. Right.
Anything else you want to add?
No, but thanks for doing this.
Well, thank you so much. Thank you so much for letting us interview you.
Yeah, happy to.
Yeah.
Good.
All right.
All right.
Okay.
Thank you.
Indy 500 tickets on sale now.
They are.
All right.
Well, I don't want to wave the white flag after that interview because I kind of never want that interview to end.
I never wanted it to end.
No.
Do you think Doug and Beth Bowles would adopt us?
I am ready to find that out.
I mean, they have a little dog. We have cats.
I have a dog.
You do have a dog, but your dog will keep to herself.
Yeah, she's fine.
She's an introvert.
She really is.
So, I mean, we don't necessarily have to live with them, but, you know.
Just adopt us.
Just adopt us.
It's
like,
fine. It's
I mean, just some invitations, maybe to some family holidays, you know.
We do Christmas really well.
We do.
I mean.
Maybe we can get them to come over on Liquor and Lights next year.
That would be fantastic.
No, we get way too drunk at that.
No,
we come to that. Oh, so, okay. Don't want to, but we have to. Let's white flag it.
Well, I think we have to address this, and we didn't want to address it before the interview because we wanted to kick that right off, but Danica Patrick has a ride.
She sure does.
She's got a ride with Ed.
Ed Garbiner.
It's Dad and Danica and Spencer.
Yes, Daddy and Danica.
Aw.
Aw. Well, and I just love it because Danica's always done well at Indy. She's always qualified well. Ed, again, always qualifies well and does well at Indy. He's an Indianapolis native.
Yep.
He's a lover of the Indianapolis 500. Of ovals in general, and it just seems like a natural fit.
It does. I'm excited to see this. I'm happy she has a ride. I think it's going to be good in May. I know a lot of people are already throwing shit, but a lot of people are going to have to eat crow come May.
I think so. And again, it's good for the sport. It's getting people talking about it. It's, you know, people are going to watch who wouldn't normally watch it just because it's going to be Danica's last 500. It's getting people talking about it. It's going to gain viewership. And you know what? We might even gain a few new full-time fans from it.
Yeah, and anything that's good for the sport is good in general. So you might not like her. That's fine. But you cannot...
Discount that this is going to be good for the sport and especially for the Indianapolis 500. So the Danica double is a go. She's with ECR.
Let's do this.
And as you know, we are big Ed Carpenter Racing fans anyway.
Yep.
And I guess we're going to have to pick up some overtime for all the merch we're going to have to buy this year.
Man, I already gotta buy, like, Schmidt-Peterson merch. Now I'm gonna have to buy Ed merch. I gotta buy something for Veach. My lord. I'm gonna have to sell a kidney.
Well, you only need one.
I only need one.
Yeah. You can't go through legal routes for that. You're gonna have to go on the black market.
Yeah, I'm gonna have to go to Mexico or something like that.
Yeah, because you can't legally sell organs in the States, so.
It's not allowed. Okay.
So, I'll come. I'll be your PACU nurse.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
I'll make sure they don't kill you.
That's really all I want.
I could do that.
Okay. Then we can pay for all the merch.
Okay.
Awesome.
I'm down. So, Danica Devil's a go. Excellent interview with Doug Bowles, and just even more giddy for season two and May.
And we're now within 100 days.
We are. We are. And as we said during the interview with Doug, you know, all these things that they're doing that they want to involve
everybody and, you know, have all these different options. You know, they've got the Snake Pit with their concert and then everything that they've done, you know, how they've streamlined the pre-race pageant and all of that. You know, hashtag, it's my race. We all have our own traditions. We all have our own, you know, things that we do every year for the Indy 500. Yeah. Maybe you get together with friends, family, people that you met at the race that you've become friends with. Maybe you've had the same seats for 20 years and you sit next to the same people and you guys always share your food back and forth. My family used to always take Church's chicken, fried chicken to the racetrack. Yeah. And we would eat cold fried chicken on race day every single day. So whatever your tradition is, own it, live it, love it.
Yep.
Hashtag, it's my race. Make it yours. Hashtag, this is May.
This is May. Almost. Thanks for listening.